It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football with Fox 8's own John Tellitz. JT, how are you doing today, good sir?
I am doing fantastic and really excited to see this game on Sunday. And shameless plug, it is on Fox 8.
Hey, no shame in that at all. And hey, John, I'll tell you what, as excited as you are for this Sunday, I think Browns fans are just as excited as well, because what a heartbreaker it was this past Sunday as the Brown and Orange fall 47-42 in Los Angeles to the Chargers. And boy, JT, the first team to lose when scoring 40 or more points without turning the football over. I've seen that statistic thrown around everywhere. You sent it to me as well. Oh my goodness gracious, just so close on Sunday, but yet not quite enough.
Yeah, it really was. And you can also add in the fact that they had five. It was literally, Rocco, and I called it on a tweet that night, it was the 1,000-yard war. And that's what it earned. You had the Browns with 520 to 30 yards. You add them all together, you're over 1,000. Absolutely incredible. And, you know, fun to watch. Just, you know, obviously on a few occasions, your emotions can rise quite a bit because you see a gaffe defensively or what have you, but just on the pure entertainment, the network that had the game, CBS had it on Sunday, and they had to be just looking at themselves and saying, all right, you have the Browns, who have such a great national following. You have a young star quarterback in Justin Herbert. You have star power on the Browns side with their quarterback and then Odell. And you've got Myles Garrett on the defensive line. So many things to lead you to. You have two young, dynamic, up-and-coming head coaches. So you got a rookie over there with the Chargers, Brandon Staley from Perry. And just some real exciting things to look at. And it delivered. I mean, it really did deliver in that fourth quarter. Was absolutely, it was astonishing to see how much offense was going on in that fourth quarter.
It really was a fun game, and as fun as that one was to watch, the post-game discussion has really kind of disappointed me in a lot of ways, and I'll tell you what, I see a lot of chatter about number 6 Baker Mayfield, and boy, like, is the defense, like, paying off, like, national media members, or what's the deal here? Because I feel like they're the ones who need to be under the most criticism right now, right? I mean, really, it was the defensive woes that did them in on Sunday, and yet a lot of this criticism and conversation is just Baker. Maybe that's because he's the quarterback, whatever, but I just don't get it, John.
I don't either, and I really don't. I don't think he should come under any kind of criticism for not delivering, if you will, but let's split hairs here.
Sure.
Justin Herbert, you know, that young man in that fourth quarter, thanks in part to the Browns being so shorthanded with their injuries and having miscommunication gaffes and what have you, they were just way too generous in that fourth quarter. Here's something that really caught my eye. When you look at the previous two games, when we sung the praises of the great job that the Browns did against Justin Fields, and then the great job they did the next week after that one drive by Minnesota, totally shutting down Kirk Cousins, in both of those games, they controlled, in fact, for the most part this year with a good running team, they have controlled the clock. And so someone once joked, your best defense is obviously your offense being on the field so much that the defense isn't on the field as much and it can't do you any damage. And on Sunday, astonishing, the Browns defense was on the field for only 23 minutes and 32 seconds. 23 minutes, 32 seconds, yet they managed to allow the home team to gain almost 500 yards, 493, and they allowed those 26 fourth quarter points. Now, certainly, they've had better days on the defensive side, and certainly, we can go a long way to see a fourth quarter defense that was so porous, and I'm sure shell-shocking Stefanski and affecting him in some way, shape, or form, because it almost looked like someone took over his body in that fourth quarter, and I was wondering why he was coaching somewhat on the defensive side, if you will, not the aggressive guy. And I think maybe some part of that, Rocco, is on the other side of that field was a young coach who was extremely aggressive. We saw he went for it on all those fourth downs. He was successful, albeit there was a very questionable call on one of those that gave them the ball and 33 yards. But the defense just can't do a 26-point fourth quarter give-up type of a situation and expect a team to win, even though that team has scored 42 points and loses by 5 points. Absolutely amazing.
I do want to ask you about the officiating at some point here, because I don't think just Sunday what was the first example of it being bad this season, and not even in just in professional football, JT, but in collegiate football as well. It seems to me it's been a little subpar, but we'll get to that in a second. You mentioned Kevin Stefanski coaching a little defensively as well, and I want to dive a little farther into that. The final two drives have been under a lot of criticism from fans and media and Baker and Stefanski. Who's to blame? Where does the finger pointing go? And I'm just curious to your thoughts on that whole debate and discussion. Is it even one that we should be having, or is it just a case of, hey, it wasn't their best, you know, final couple minutes of execution? You look at the tape and you move on.
Well, I think Kevin is the king of the, you know, self-scout kind of a philosophy. So he self-scouted himself, and he looked back at that penultimate drive that they had on Sunday. That was the second to last drive. And you recall, they had the ball. They just needed to get maybe two, three, possibly get that many first downs, and then you'd be forcing Brandon Staley and the Chargers to use those timeouts and to be desperate if they got the ball back. But and it was just kind of a head-scratcher. Ran the ball on first down, then threw the ball on second down, and then you're third in like 9 or 10, and he called a draw play. Now, I realized the previous week there was a draw play that Kareem Hunt got 30 yards on. But on this one, you know, he certainly didn't come up with enough. It really, it caught me thinking was because he called that draw play, and he said he was somewhat distracted. He admitted as much, because I think on that second down play, they were expecting some kind of an interference call, something or other there. Baker had, you know, screamed about it. He didn't scream, but he spoke about it in the post-game press conference saying, you know, I'll pay the fine. Just send me the money, you know, send me the bill. And so I think Kevin was a little kind of knocked off his equilibrium, if you will, there, and called that play. And it just didn't seem aggressive enough to me. You would think, I know they're down on their 18-yard line. I totally get that. But you would think that they would have played more aggressively in order to just get that one first down, because his punter wasn't doing him any favors that day. And there's, you know, you could have some questions about the Scottish Hammer going forward. He wasn't giving him much to feel confident about. He had now a second tackle playing on the right side, the rookie James Hudson, instead of Jack Conklin, who went down early in the fourth. He was playing Blake Hans, some guy named Blake, at left tackle. So everybody in the world knew they needed 10 yards, and most notably the Los Angeles Chargers, and they did not allow them to get the required yardage to do the job. And you just don't want to give the ball back to that Herbert kid, you know, in any way possible. And he ended up giving it back to him with plenty of time. In fact, so much time that we saw almost the Keystone Cops deal when Eckler, you know, tried to just kind of stand in the middle of the line there on the 2 or 3 yard line, and the Browns shoved him into the end zone. So it was one of the oddest things to watch, and then when the Browns got the ball back, it just seemed like they played for a Hail Mary instead of going for, you know, chunk plays with the 91 seconds that they were given when they got the ball, you know, to start that drive. And it was un-Stefanski-esque, and so that just, you know, left me scratching my head, and I think obviously many other people were as well.
John Telich is our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. So we mentioned the officiating earlier, JT, and that part of the reason maybe why Stefanski and friends were a little off their game, if you will, down the stretch of that game. And I don't know, JT, it's just not been great this year, in my opinion, right? I mean, maybe it's just this era of social media where every single call gets thrown under the spotlight. We see it a million times in, you know, little 10-second clips without a whole lot of context around it. I don't know, but are you with me on that? Am I a bit crazy here? I just feel the officiating on all levels this year has not been tremendous.
No, it hasn't, and I thought Sunday we saw a couple of examples of that. Certainly the egregious play where, you know, Williams was grabbing the jersey of the Browns defender, A.J. Green, And everybody could see that, yet they got the 33 yards and a first down because of that. I think the NFL should just look at that play, not the Williams play, but the pass interference on a big chunk play like that, and modify it in some way, shape, or form so that you're not giving up such a large amount of real estate and then giving them an automatic first down. Something has to be done there. But you're seeing calls all over the NFL, and this is kind of a crossroads time for the National Football League, because after much dragging of their feet for years and years, they have now gone into a warm embrace with the betting world. And so I think you have to be more and more vigilant about the integrity of your game, the officiating, all the things around it, when betting has become even more of a factor on each and every given Sunday. So I think it speaks to the league, you know, maybe, that eye in the sky, something. I know, you know, you don't want games to be 3 hours and 45 minutes and we're sitting around waiting for a replay, but something has to be done. It's just really, absolutely, in my estimation, a part of the game it's just not winning over fans. And I'm not just speaking of Cleveland, Ohio. It's going on all over the league.
Well, it straight up ruins people's weeks. I mean, it's Thursday now, and here we are. You know, people are still punching in the air, you know, with how mad they are about some of these missed calls. So, you know, I don't know. That's not the NFL's problem, of course, with how upset people get necessarily. But then it does if they start to tune out. So we'll see how that conversation around the officiating sort of changes, if things change as this year progresses. So the Arizona Cardinals will be the next test ahead for the Cleveland Browns as they come into Cleveland this Sunday, a 4 o'clock kick, and Cards are undefeated. JT, Kyler Murray and friends coming into the town. Kyler a bit limited with some shoulder issues apparently. So what's the deal with this one, JT? What do the Browns got to do for a win?
Well, I think so far this year their calling card has been their rushing, and they've got to continue to do that. They've got to go Chubb and Hunt up and down the field. They're number one rushing team in the National Football League. They're almost at 1,000 yards already. They average 5.36 yards per carry. You know, they have the most 10-plus yard runs in the league, most touchdowns by rushing, most rushing first downs. Every game's been over 150 yards of rushing, and they only did that six times all of last year, and this year they're 5 for 5. The ingredient this week is Kyler Murray is your X factor. He's the roadrunner. He's the guy that's going to be making Joe Woods take plenty of antacid this week and not have much sleep as he worries about what to do to handle him. And I think it's a difficult scenario because you're coming in to this game with your defensive secondary banged up. You're probably going to get Jarvis Landry back, although that won't be official till I would assume later in the week. Well, you know, as I speak with you right now, nothing official from the team. But you've got Myles Garrett's been banged up. Jadeveon Clowney was a late scratch because of his knee, not his elbow, last Sunday. So you have to worry about him. Going against a team like Arizona, you've got to do your bread and butter because they're not one of the best teams at defending the run. I think they're like fifth worst in the National Football League as far as the amount of yards that they've given up. I think they've allowed more than 690 yards rushing this year. So you can run the ball on these guys. They allow 5.4 yards per carry, which is pretty extreme. So I think you just keep going with your money, guys. You've got to diversify spreading the ball around. We could talk about the elephant in the room, the Odell factor, but you need to have him more involved. And if Landry's back on that field, I think you'll see the wideout involvement bump up somewhat as far as that is concerned. But Chandler Jones, he did test positive. That news came out on Tuesday, and as we stand here talking today, we don't have a definitive answer. He had 5 sacks in his first game, hasn't had a sack since. They got J.J. Watt, who, by the way, has got a lot of pressures this year, but he has yet to get an official sack this season for the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, the Cards are 5-0. They have beaten 2 rookie quarterbacks. I think we should make note of that, Trey Lance and Justin Fields. And so, they've also had wins over some quality quarterbacks too. but they have two wins over some young quarterbacks. Baker's a pro. Baker, you know, people are not necessarily calling him out, but wanting him to be the guy that wins the game in the last seconds. Well, it may come down to that kind of a scenario on late Sunday afternoon in week six here of the National Football League, where the Browns need Baker and that offense to go down the field and to win the game for them. We shall see. I really think this is going to be a very tight game. I think it's going to be a scoring game. I think because, you know, the Browns still have to shore up their defensive side of the ball. The Browns had those breakdowns in their coverage where they basically allowed 114 yards on two different plays, on two miscommunications / breakdowns. You just can't have that. You can't have two of those a season. And they had two of those in one afternoon. So a lot of work this week for the Browns here in Berea. We'll see if they can shore up some of those patchy spots, if you will, and move forward for a better result.
A big test for the Brown and Orange on Sunday. Browns Cardinals in Cleveland, a 4 o'clock kick on the home of John Telich, Fox. Yes, sir. Should be a good one. JT, I appreciate the time. As always, good sir. Have a good one.
All right, man. You guys have a great week, and we'll see how well those Brownies could do against the Arizona Cards.